Well, that's what hurt my relationship with NATO, because Greenland doesn't help Denmark. Denmark doesn't spend money to really help Greenland, but it's an important part for the United States. And it's surrounded by China ships and Russian ships. And that's not going to happen. The ships is, it's not going to happen. It was Greenland that, in my, and it continues to be, that should be controlled by the United States, not by Denmark. And when they wouldn't go along with it, and with all the money we spend to help them with Russia, and we don't have to spend any money, we could remove all of our soldiers out of Europe. Because as you probably noticed, Europe's a very different place than it was 20 years ago. A lot different, much different. It's a much different, and they better be careful.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 7th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with an update on the oligarch, the Monaco explosion, assassination attempt, and the Ukrainian assassin who dressed up like a man, and she wanted to assassinate the oligarch Yermolayev, who had these call centers that allegedly Zelensky and his goons and other oligarchs wanted to get their hands on, and these call centers were making tons of money, allegedly scamming European citizens. And so this assassin was sent to Monaco, and she put a backpack outside of a building where Yermolayev, his partner, and their son, 13-year-old, left this building, and the backpack exploded. The partner lost her legs. The son in critical condition. All of this happening in Monaco, and this assassin was identified by Interpol. First time something like this has happened in Monaco, by the way. And now the assassin, the woman, Anastasia something, who dressed up like a man to carry out this assassination, was found dead, according to its Ukrainskaya Pravda, found dead in Kiev. Her body was discovered near Kiev late Monday evening, Ukrainskaya Pravda reported on Tuesday, citing a law enforcement source. She was reportedly shot dead. And all of this happened today. All of this gets cleaned up on the very same day that we have the big NATO summit that is starting up today in Ankara, Turkey. I think I saw a video right before I started this recording of Air Force One and President Trump landing in Turkey. I like it. I like Turkey. I like that Erdogan. And this summit, this is the big one, the big NATO summit. The top NATO summit with all of the prime ministers and presidents, chancellors, and Le Gobelin Vert also attending this summit, the GCC countries. Most of them will be at this NATO summit. South Korea will also be attending this NATO summit. And it's going to definitely be about Iran. Trump is going to be complaining a whole lot about why NATO did not help out the United States in the conflict with Iran. So you'll get a lot of that. You'll get a lot of threats and warnings from Trump that he's going to pull out money and funding from NATO and stuff like that. Rutte is going to be doing a whole lot of daddy butt kissing. You're going to see a whole lot of that. And of course, many, many defense deals, military contracts. All of these things are going to be signed during this two-day summit. I imagine the big beneficiaries will be the American MIC companies, because Trump is going to threaten to pull out of NATO, and he's going to threaten to stop funding NATO and all of these things. And the Europeans are going to say, no, don't leave NATO, Trump. We'll sign contracts with whatever MIC companies you want us to sign contracts with. And that's how that's going to go down. And then you're going to have a whole lot of talk about Project Ukraine. That will be the main topic on the agenda, will be Project Ukraine, which is also about money and military contracts. So on a side note, we have the with the whole NATO meeting, we have the Trump-Maloney thing going on. And in my clown world yesterday, I mentioned how Trump posted on Truth Social an image of Maloney looking up at U.S. President Trump with hearts floating around Maloney as she was staring at the U.S. president. Trump mocking Maloney. Come on. And we had the whole selfie from the G7, the selfie gate, which actually got a response from Maloney. Trump saying that Maloney begged for a selfie. Maloney had to put out a video message saying, "I don't beg, Italians don't beg," something like that. And now you have the head of the NATO meeting, you have the defense minister of Belgium. Yes, the defense minister of Belgium is coming out with a statement to Politico where he is telling Trump to back off of Maloney, bro. Back off of Maloney. Not only is he warning Trump to back off of Maloney, but he called Maloney a queen. That's right. Leave Queen Maloney alone. Belgium defense minister warns Trump. Clown world NATO meeting, everybody. Clown world NATO meeting. Leave the queen alone, U.S. President Trump. What did the defense minister of Belgium say? One second, let me cross. Let me cross and I'll read you what this guy was saying as he's warning Trump to not mock Maloney. Let's see. Europe still needs the U.S. to defend the continent for up to another decade. So leaders should be careful not to alienate Donald Trump, Belgium Defense Minister Theo Franken told Politico. But Franken made clear there are limits, especially when it comes to Trump's recent attacks on Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. Of course, we need him as an ally, but don't touch Meloni. She's the queen of center-right in Europe. She's the alpha. Leave her alone, the Flemish nationalist minister said. You can't make this shit up, man. You really cannot make this stuff up. She's the alpha? Really, bro? Really? Come on, man. Yeah, we need the U.S. to fund us for a whole decade, to give us money and weapons for a whole freaking decade. We understand this, but there are limits. There are limits. And that red line is Maloney. She's the red line. I'm sorry, Queen Maloney. Queen Maloney. Queen of the center right. Is that what this guy said? the center right of Europe. She's queen of the center right of Europe. I crown you, Meloni, queen of the center right of Europe. You are the alpha. Oh boy. So as we begin the NATO summit from the 7th until the 8th, we have Ukraine admitting that they have no Patriot interceptors left. Kiev smashed by the Russian military, zero missiles intercepted into Kiev. Now, there are many analysts who are saying that this is some sort of a 5D chess move from Zelensky, some sort of a trick from Zelensky and NATO and the Europeans so that they can enter the NATO summit and go to the United States and President Trump and talk about how they have no more patriots, no more interceptors. So the United States, we need patriots. We need patriot interceptors very, very bad because Kiev is exposed. And so that could be what is going on with the zero interception of missiles in Kiev. I find that a bit complicated. I just think they ran out of patriots. That's my own take on this. They're out of patriots and there are no more patriots. At least not any patriots available. They got whatever Poland could give them. But that's about it. A lot of complaints in NATO that the United States used up 2,000 something patriots in the war against Iran. There are a lot of people that are upset with the United States. Anonymous sources, according to Collective West Media, very angry with the Trump administration because you used up all the patriots fighting Iran and now there are no more patriots left for Le Gobelin Vert. They're out. They're out of patriots. The Ukraine media is admitting it. The Ukraine, pro-Ukraine X and Telegram channels are admitting it. Ukraine has run out of Patriot PAC-3 air defense missiles again, thanks to Trump starting a war with Iran using 2,300 Patriot interceptors in 1 month. Ukrainians are suffering daily, unable to intercept the majority of Russian ballistic missiles, even ones launched at Kiev. They intercepted zero that were launched at Kiev. They used to have a success rate of 120%, right? So all the missiles that Russia would launch, 100 missiles launched into Ukraine, and the Patriots would intercept 120 missiles. That's gone down to zero now. Like you look at the charts that the Ukraine military puts up after a Russian missile strike, and it's like at zero. So look, Zelensky's going to get promises, weapons, missiles, Patriot promises. You have these secret deals and these secret schemes like what Tusk put together and what Poland put together without getting the approval of the parliament and sending Patriot missiles that were part of Poland's defense network, its operational inventory, giving those over to Zelensky. So you're going to have all of these types of things which are going to happen during the NATO summit. But whatever they manage to get to Zelensky, the Russians will end up eventually destroying it. And he's going to leave with a lot of money. That he will leave with. When Zelensky asks for money, Zelensky gets money. 10 billion, 70 billion will be the total package. But 60 billion of that 70 billion, as I have said in previous videos, is part of that EU gift. And the new money that NATO is going to hand over to Le Gobelin Vert will probably be around 10 billion euros. You're going to get a lot of statements about from the NATO member states about increasing their defense spending as well to 5% and stuff like that. But no patriots. no patriots left for Ukraine. Ahead of the meeting, you did get a big Ukraine, NATO, Collective West, U.S. Backed strike into Russia. Around 420 plus drones were sent into Russia, most of them towards the Moscow area. Those drones were knocked down. They were either knocked down before they got into the Moscow region, and 30 or 40 of the drones that actually made it into the Moscow region were then knocked down. But the Collective West also launched a massive HIMARS strike, drones and HIMARS, and this was launched to Belgorod and Kursk, to border towns, and damage was done. The HIMARS hit an oil pipeline in Belgorod. They also hit the international airports and some other targets. Haven't heard about the HIMARS for a long time. They dusted them off and fired them into Russia for the NATO meeting. They wanted to get a big strike in as they head into the NATO summit. So they wanted to make sure they got a very, very big strike into Russia before the meeting in Ankara. And they threw pretty much everything they had at Russia and targeting the nearby border towns to make sure that they were going to hit targets close by using the HIMARS again. They hit Kursk with HIMARS as well. And then we had the long-range strike. This one is an interesting one. A drone, allegedly a drone or a couple of drones, they hit the city of Omsk, which is 2,500 kilometers from Ukraine. And what they hit was the largest oil refinery in Russia. The videos show a direct hit, a lot of smoke. If you go by the videos, it looks like a lot of damage was done, but it's hard to tell exactly what the damage was. It could be fixed. It could be something like just hitting the oil storage facility, the tank, and that could be fixed within a matter of weeks or a month or two. It could have done more damage, the drone. It's hard to tell from just the images and the video, but a big explosion, lots of fire, lots of smoke, at a target and a refinery, which is very, very far away from Ukraine. And so the interesting part about this strike was that you had a drone or a couple of drones traveling 2,500 kilometers plus to hit this target deep inside of Russia. Now there's two possible theories as to how this happened. Theory number one is that the United States, they provided the targeting, the mapping, the path of the drone, the trajectory, everything. They looked at the topography. They figured out the U.S. systems, and only the U.S. systems could have done this. They figured out what would be the best route so that the target could travel such a distance in order to hit the refinery. And we're talking about a pretty big drone. I was speaking to Stanislav, and he mentioned that the drones that targeted Omsk were talking about a big drone, but it's a big drone that can travel a long distance because it can carry a lot of fuel to go that distance, and then it's just carrying the explosives. That's it. That's what these drones are about, and the United States could have provided the path so that the drone could evade Russian systems so that it could successfully make it that distance and hit Omsk. But only the United States could have provided that information. The other theory about the drone hitting Omsk is that it was launched from somewhere nearby. It wasn't launched from Ukraine. It was launched either inside of Russian territory, which I do not think is possible because we are talking about a big drone. We're not talking about small little drones, big drones getting inside of Russia. Doesn't seem likely, but you know, Russia's big and maybe that happened. Or the drone was launched from a neighboring country like Kazakhstan. It has happened in the past where drones were allegedly launched from Kazakhstan. In the past, this does seem to have happened from Kazakhstan territory. Ukraine gets in there and launches. So maybe the drone was launched from there. Those are the two, at least at the moment of me recording this video, the two theories that are out there about this drone. I personally believe that it was launched from Ukraine, and the United States did all of the heavy lifting. They need a big target to hit. They needed something big. Something big, something far away. And they needed the United States. Without the United States, they would never have been able to accomplish such a feat. And the reason I believe that the United States was behind it is because you had media outlets running stories, for example, the Financial Times, about how the collective West is going to fully back Ukraine long-range strikes into Russia. Actually, the collective West media was running articles stating that the collective West leadership was going to push Zelensky for even deeper, longer-range strikes into Russia. And so these articles were published at the same time that you had this very long-range strike into Omsk. No doubt this was coordinated. And as they meet in Ankara, this is what they needed to have happen, this type of long-range strike into Russia, so that they can get some momentum as they prepare to meet the NATO cool kids. So Zelensky, he put out a statement declaring victory, pretty much. He's declaring victory. He said that the battle is now in the sky. This is according to the Financial Times, an exclusive from the FT. Everything will be decided in the sky. That is what Zelensky said. He also posted about this on X, a very long post. I will not read you his post because it is very long. He definitely did not write this post. This was written for him. But he talks about how Ukraine has defeated Russia on the ground, how it has defeated the Russian Black Sea fleet. Maybe defeat is not the right word. It's stopped Russia. They have stopped Russia on the ground. I don't know where they get that from, because just yesterday, Russia announced the capture of Konstantinovka, but whatever, we'll go with it. We'll go with what Zelensky is pushing out there. And then you're back to the Black Sea fleet has been defeated, so we're back to that. And now it's all about the battle in the sky. Yeah, they're trying to control the narrative, control the frame. If you control the frame, then you've won the media war, right? You're not going to win the real war, but you've won the media war. So that's Zelensky. Hours after a massive Russian attack on Kiev, Zelensky said Ukraine had already succeeded in denying Russia victory on the battlefield and had pushed its fleet from much of the Western Black Sea, leaving airspace as the defining theater. This is according to the FT. All of these articles are coming out today as we gear up for the NATO conference. A lot of money to be made. Got to get those articles out there. A whole lot of money to be made. So So that's the FT. I'm just going through Alensky's. It was an interview with Le Goblin Vert. And I'm just going through what he said. Maybe there's something interesting that I could pull out from his interview. He goes on and on and on, Alensky. He goes on and on. Let's see here. When our deep strikes were not reaching Moscow and St. Petersburg, Putin did not think much about it. He understood that the war was far from the Kremlin. Of course, once he feels what is happening in Moscow, he will begin to understand what is happening in the Kursk, Belgorod, and Bryansk regions. He'll begin to grasp the reality of the situation. When not 100 drones, but 1,000 start reaching Moscow, and when he feels it and sees it, he will be advised to move somewhere beyond the Urals. That will be a moment that opens a new chapter on the path towards ending the war. The farther Putin is from Moscow, the closer the end of the war and peace will be. Interesting statement in the interview. This was also posted on X, by the way, but interesting statement. Because what's going to happen is not Putin leaving Moscow. What's going to happen is that Alensky is going to leave Kiev. That's what's going to happen. Once Russia starts, if Russia follows through and starts going after decision-making centers like they warned about a month ago, what's going to happen is that Alensky is going to be left with a choice. Because all the embassies, all the officials are going to, they're going to split. They're going to be Audi 5000. If Russia follows through with that warning. With Putin, you never know, right? Putin gives out a lot of warnings and he backs off on 99% of those warnings. So with Putin, who knows? But if they follow through on the warnings that were made specifically from the foreign ministry and from all the embassies about decision-making centers and telling diplomats to leave Kiev, then Alensky's going to be left with a very difficult choice. Either he's going to have to stay in Kiev or he's going to have to follow the collective West diplomats and leave Kiev and go to Lviv or Lvov or wherever. I was going to say Warsaw, but he's probably not welcome in Warsaw anymore. Go to London or Paris or something like that. So as Alensky is saying, Putin's going to leave Moscow. What's going to happen is that Alensky is going to have to make a choice about either staying in Kiev or leaving Kiev. That's exactly how this is going to unfold. But anyway, Stubb, the leader of Finland, he told the Financial Times that NATO supports Ukraine's desire to strike Russia harder. And I quote, "I think everyone understands why Ukraine is doing this. Everyone believes we need to keep increasing pressure. Everyone, including our American friends, sees that Ukraine is currently on top of the battlefield. When the war becomes personal, the Russian population will rise up against it. This gives us a chance to return to the negotiating table, which I think we all desperately want. If I had a choice, we would make Ukraine a NATO member immediately, but I am a realist and understand that this is unlikely. But the main thing I want to say, NATO needs Ukraine just as much as Ukraine needs NATO." Okay, we get it, Stubbity-Stub. 12% unemployment in Finland. Good job, Stubbity-Stub. You're doing a bang-up job in Finland. But interesting statement, huh? When the war becomes personal, the Russian population will rise up against the Kremlin. They're still stuck on regime change. Hey, my friend. You're chilling out over there, huh? They're still stuck on regime change. Still focused on trying to remove Putin. Their Hail Mary pass to win the war, that's all they've got left, is to try and remove the Russian president. And Stubb actually says that Ukraine is currently on top of the battlefield. I think that Stubb is reading Reuters and only Reuters. Reuters said that the Russian military, three days ago, they said the Russian military is on the outskirts of Konstantinovka. Stubb, the Russian military has captured Konstantinovka. I would say that is a very, very significant battlefield victory. They've also captured Liman, by the way. They're just cleaning it up. They're clearing it up. They're in a a clearing operation right now in Liman, but that'll be announced very soon as well. So anyway, interesting statement from the leader of Finland, who seems to care about only one thing, and that is Project Ukraine, man. Does he even talk about Finland? Does he care about Finland? It doesn't seem like he cares much about Finland. Anyway, that is the update there. I think now we can get to an incident in the Strait of Hormuz, where two oil tankers tried to cross the Strait of Hormuz on the southern route, the Oman route, and the Iranian military, they hit those tankers. My understanding is that the tankers were not significantly damaged, no casualties or anything like that, but a message sent by Iran: don't use any routes that are not approved by us. So let's do some clown worlds, and yeah, we can wrap this video up. By the way, in the European Union, in the Parliament, they're trying to fast track chat control. You guys, remember what chat control is, right? Chat control is where the EU forces the social networks, the messaging apps, to scan your messages, even though they are allegedly they're encrypted, like WhatsApp or Telegram or Signal, whatever. The EU still wants to read all the messages or have access to all the messages, encrypted or not encrypted, and they're trying to fast track this legislation called chat control, where they will have access to everyone's messages via these apps. And it's a very devious, sinister thing that they're doing by trying to fast track it. They're trying to fast track the votes on chat control right before the summer recess. And if they are successful, then we're all screwed. If you're in Europe, we're not using our messaging apps anymore, right? I guess we can go back to writing letters. That would be kind of nice. But yeah, that is something that is happening in the EU Parliament that not many people are talking about. So, Clown World. One of the officials in Poland, one second, was placed on the Miro Dworets, the head of the Chancellery of the President of the Republic of Poland, Bogucki, was placed on Miro Dworets because of the whole Poland patriot thing, right? And Ukraine is very upset that there are politicians and leaders in Poland that are very unhappy with this secret deal to send patriots to Poland. So what happens? He gets placed on Miro Dworets. You also have the Bandera stuff, all of these things as well. The Ukrainians are not happy with Poland, right? We should be able to have our Bandera statues. Why are you upset at us for having our Bandera statues? Come on, we're going to place you on Miro Dworets. The weird thing about this is that I don't know if Miro Dworets website has it anymore, but last time I saw that website, which was a while back, I have to admit, maybe a year ago, maybe a year plus, I remember on the top header, it said Langley and Warsaw, or Langley and Poland, like right on the top header of the Miro Dworets. I don't know if it's still there or not. I'm sure it's archived somewhere. So if you go to like the Wayback Machine or archives, you'll definitely see the top header of that website used to have the words Langley and Poland or Warsaw. Which is weird, because they're now placing Polish government officials and politicians on the hit list. Okay. Here's a fact, a fun fact, not so much a clown world, from Poly Market Sports. For the first time in the World Cup history,
The quarterfinals will not feature Brazil, Germany, or Italy. Okay, that just came up in my feed, so I just thought I would mention that. That is an interesting fact, actually. The first time in World Cup history. Wow. That's wild. Germany, Italy, and Brazil. From the Clash Report, very pro-Ukrainian Clash Report, Russian banks face explosive crisis under war economy burden. A classified European intelligence report warns that Russia's banking sector is buckling under the immense financial burden of Moscow's war economy as EU prepares a raft of new sanctions. Yeah, they're super pro-Ukrainian, these guys. But a European intelligence report. Okay. Trust the European intelligence reports. Russia's economy is in tatters, tatters, I tell you, the Ursula bobblehead doll. Tatters, tatters, tatters. That would be a best-selling item on the Durant shop. And finally, the last clown world, courtesy of the EU. The EU is screwed, absolutely screwed. We have the enlargement commissioner, Marta Kos, who posted on Facebook a picture of herself holding two jars of jam, apricot jam, made from Armenian apricots. This is jam I made from Armenian apricots. Apricots are symbolic of a shift that is taking place in Armenia. At last month's election, the majority of Armenians voted for parties that want a closer partnership with the EU. Russia had tried to influence the vote by restricting imports of Armenian fruit and flowers. In turn, the EU helped Armenia by opening its market to many of these products. This is why, when I was in Armenia last week, I returned to Brussels with a huge basket of apricots. Many of them went to friends. The rest I turned into jam. A friend looked at the jam and said, "Jars of freedom." I thought that was a beautiful way of putting it. Oh, I can't take it. When you go to the supermarket, watch out for Armenian apricots, plums, or cherries. It's a chance to do something small that can help Armenian farmers and support their country's democratic choice. Oh, yes, the democratic choice. That's right. Everyone living in Europe, when you go to the supermarket, keep an eye out for Armenian apricots, Armenian jam, freedom jam, jam in jars, freedom jam in jars. She's the enlargement commissioner. So why do you need an enlargement commissioner? Couldn't AI do that job, right? AI could just ask a question of countries. Do you hate Russia? Yes. Okay. Will you go to war on our behalf against Russia? Yes. Okay. You're in the European Union. What do you need an enlargement commissioner for? To make jam, obviously. Oh, boy. Yeah, Armenia is screwed. Sorry to say it. It's going to take a lot more than apricot jam to save Armenia's economy if Russia decides to bolt. It's going to take a whole lot more than jam. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDurant.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble, Telegram, The Durant Shop. Pick up some merch. Check us out on Substack. Thank you to everybody that is smashing the like button. Thank you to everyone that is obliterating the hype button. And to everyone that is subscribed to this channel, thank you so much. Please check your subscription to make sure you're still subscribed, because YouTube is removing subscribers. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care. Come here. I've got some food for you. Just open it up. It's hard. I've got only one hand. You were having a good, taking a good nap. And now you're getting a good meal. One sec. One second, my friend. One second. Let's see, we got this. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Let me try to open it up. I need another hand. Opa. One second. There you go. Here, let me try to... You got it? Let me do this. There, that's better. All right. Oh, boy. All right, everybody. I'm going to chill out here with my new friend. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.